I don't know. Somebody's going to be there, I guess.
Surely shall, I guess.
I don't know. Hello, Jamie.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I wanted to check and make sure I was on audio. It's telling me to wait, so I don't know what's going on. We've got a full agenda today.
Yeah.
See, Sheila, are you on?
Yes.
I don't know why. Okay, I don't know why I have this little waiting message right in the middle of my iPhone and the little circle going around and around. Wonder why that is.
I don't know. I don't have anybody waiting to join.
I don't know why it is either. I may have to go off and try to get back on.
I don't think you shouldn't have any problems. I wouldn't think.
I know it. I haven't had that before. Must have pushed something I wasn't supposed to.
Aaron, if you get knocked out, we'll wait till you get logged back on, because sometimes it takes a couple of minutes or three.
Yeah, I don't know why I've got that little message right in the middle. It just says waiting, and it's going around and around. So I think I'm going to try leaving and get back on. See if that'll help. Thank you. No. I'll just have to tolerate it. That's okay. I can still see you. It's just I've got that right in the middle for some reason. Okay. How are you today, Jerry?
I'm doing good.
All your family okay?
They're doing fine.
Good. I had heard you had had the COVID virus. Do you think you have any lingering effects from it that you can tell?
I didn't have it, Karen.
I thought you did.
No, Terry's wife, Murray, had it. And he tested negative, but he still thinks he might have had it because he got to feeling bad for a couple of days. So
he just had a false negative, probably, didn't he?
Well, he has to get tested twice a week on account of the nursing home.
Yes.
He was tested the day, I think, after Murray got tested, and hers came back positive. But it was 2 days later before he got feeling bad. He's been tested three times since then. He's okay.
Well, good.
That's some bad stuff.
Oh, goodness. I hope we can escape it.
Yep. Had 13 new cases today. Had 13 new ones yesterday, so.
I had heard that last night. We always listen to the news, and I said, I hope that wasn't because school started.
I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you didn't have it, so.
Well, thank you.
Sorry,
thank
but you. That was the rumor.
Okay, well. See, if I do good, my name's Jerry. If I do bad, it's Terry. Yeah.
Okay.
He does me the same way. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have everybody in attendance, you think? Sheila, has everybody signed on?
I don't have anybody waiting, and it is 4:34, so you can start if you want to. It was
all right. We will. We will. Sorry, I got carried away.
No, that's fine. Sometimes we have to wait on people.
I know. all right. If you're ready to record then.
Yes.
The town of Mountain City Municipal Planning Commission for September the 24th, 2020 will now come to order. And Planning Commission members, you should have before you the minutes of our last meeting, which was on June the 25th of this year. And do we have any corrections to these minutes? If not, do I have a motion to accept the minutes as written?
So move.
That's Jerry Jordan made the motion. And do I have a second?
I'll second it, Karen.
Thank you, Jamie. Do we have any old business today?
We need to do a roll call on the minute.
Okay, sorry, I did skip that. A roll call today, Mayor Parsons. Is he absent?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Jordan?
Present.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Present.
And Karen Cunningham, present. Okay, thank you. Now, do we have any old business? If not, we'll move on to our new business today, and we have five items on the agenda. And the first item is the discussion and approval of a rezoning request to rezone a parcel of property located at 133 Honeysuckle Street from R1 low density residential to R2 medium density residential. And at this time, do we have a property owner of this property or a representative that wants to state their request and any action that you're requesting from this planning commission? Do we have anybody present that is representing that, Sheila?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. If not, then we'll move on. And our planner, Erica Malpass, with our First Tennessee Development District, will, Erica, would you please comment on this and give your suggestion to us?
Yes, this was a property that Sheila had received a call on, and what it is the property owner is potentially looking at putting, we are now confused as to if it's 6 or 9 like little cabins for Airbnb purposes to rent them out for people coming in. And in the zoning ordinance itself, it doesn't say anything about Airbnbs or anything like that. And so when talking to Sheila, I told her the best thing to do would be to subdivide the property into each individual parcel so that then technically each lot is a residential lot. And when I was looking at it, I was thinking, I don't know if it's going to meet density, and that's why it was suggested maybe to rezone it. But then this morning, I was looking at it a little bit more, and I think it'll actually meet density requirements. The 15,000 square foot minimum for each lot. There's already one house on the property, and so it would then be at a maximum either 7 or 10 individual lots. It would have to abide by all subdivision regulations and meet all of the square footage, the setbacks for each individual lot. But now looking at it, it might not have to be rezoned in the least bit at all because it might meet the density requirement. I was just afraid it wouldn't, and I wanted the Planning Commission to know about it and get any input from them on if they ever did decide to do any more development on the lot, then like it might not meet density. That could just be a stipulation that like the 9 is as much as it can do, or like they have to abide by the square footage and everything. So after additional looking at it, it might not actually have to be zoned at all. Her next step would be a survey to the Planning Commission showing each lot subdivided off so that we can get her plans for what she was actually wanting to do.
Have you talked with the, since you discovered this new development that it might not have to be rezoned. Have you talked to the owners and to see what their wishes?
I've not been in contact with the owner. Sheila's been the one that's actually talked to them. And I let her know this morning that I didn't think now it needed to be rezoned, not subdivided. And I don't know if Sheila ever contacted them, but I did let her know the next step would be we have to get a survey of each lot, because the owner had said to Sheila that she had already gotten her surveyor to subdivide it. And so she should already have a plan. We just haven't seen it.
So at this time, then, are you suggesting then that we do not consider this at this time for rezoning then, and wait and see what the owner decides and maybe approach at a later time?
That would probably be best. I think if we can get a plan and I can see that it meets all of the density requirements, square footage of each lot, there's no need to rezone it. This was actually my suggestion, and it was because I wasn't quite sure of it meeting density and if they had any future plans for other development on the property. So that was my suggestion. But now if I can get her plans and look at it and everything to see if it meets, then I don't see a purpose in rezoning it whatsoever. And it conforms to everything around it being the zone that it is.
All right. So, Sheila, do we really need a motion on that to,
no,
to
you, just,
consider
you just
it,
don't just need to take any, you just don't need to take any action
at all. And so we can go on to the set. Before I do that though, I want to ask any of the other, planning commission members, do you have a question that you did have about that though, before we go on and skip over this one?
Okay, if they have to get that surveyed, make density, you know, so much square footage, mm-hmm. and assign an address to each one, I guess the issue would be the road, you know.
This piece of property fronts like three roads, so each lot will have to have road frontage in order for it to be subdivided into those individual lots, and they have to have like their own driveway. But that is the thing with it. She can subdivide it as long as every subdivision regulation is met with it, unless she asks for a variance somewhere. But I haven't seen a plan. So I'm guessing with it being on three road frontages, she'll have the road, but I'm not sure without seeing it.
I don't think there's any access on two of those road frontages, are they, Jerry? There's only frontage on Honeysuckle.
Yeah, if they go up on the sheriff's side, somebody's going to have to spend a lot of money to put some access, you know, tile and stuff like that in to, you know, and then if you have to have a cul-de-sac, it's going to be, I'll be honest with you, it's going to be hard to subdivide that and meet all the regulations with the lay of the land and everything. So, yeah.
So, okay, and that could be something we inform the owner of the property of, but that was the only way around getting that many, like, little tiny cabins to be actually going by the zoning ordinance and the subdivision, is they'd have to be on their individual lots. Otherwise, there's nowhere except for maybe an RV park, and I don't see small cabins fitting into an RV park, like, classification, so...
So each one of the lots that she, what if she only subdivides it into four lots that will have road frontage? Would that still be okay?
If she only does four and she only wants four cabins, that's fine as long as they meet
all of the road frontage. Okay.
Because she could put two on one lot, I guess, couldn't she?
Not in R1.
No. Well, if it's like a duplex or something, she could get by with that.
If it was like a duplex, yes. If it's just standalone cabins, no.
Okay.
She talked about doing the duplex thing, and then she talked about doing individual houses, tiny houses, whatever you want to call them, cabins. So I don't know if she really knows exactly what she's going to do, but I'll call her and talk to her.
Okay, and once she gets this information, I think they can make up their mind then, and if it needs to come before us at a later date, then we can deal with it then.
Okay.
Do we have any other comments concerning that? So we will not take any action on the first item on the agenda then. Let's move on then to the second item on the agenda, which is the discussion and approval of a rezoning request to rezone a parcel of property located at 103 Shelm Street from an R1 medium density residential to B3 arterial business. Commission members, you do have that plat picture before you. And at this time, do we have a representative then, or the owner that wants to make this request to the commission?
Yes. Yes.
All right. And would you please state your name and your position here and your address?
Shirley Dunn. I'm Boyd's wife. Boyd's the owner. And the address is 10553 Highway 67 West, Butler, Tennessee, 37640. And he's here. He just don't use phones.
Okay. If you would, here, as far as you want to state your request to us, we limit that to a 5 minute or less, please, for your request in the interest of time. Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Dunn.
We want to get it rezoned to commercial, so it'll be worth more. We want to sell it and do whatever we want to with it.
All right. Anything else that at this time, then, our planner, Erica Malpace. Erica, would you please advise us at this time?
Yes, this one came before the Planning Commission back in 2012 is where I found some minutes regarding it. And at that point, it was due to somebody purchasing it to put their business office. Is that no longer a thing for it?
No.
Okay. So in 2012, it was turned down due to people being, from what I can tell, commissioners being concerned about if there was ever to be a subdivision of the property because it fronts 421, it would be really hard to get access to the road with there being a pedestrian walkway, and also you'd have to get TDOT permission there. And so I think there were some concerns on future development of this property. When looking at it, for the layout of the property, the road is kind of the buffer between the commercial district and then the residential district. So it would be right on the outskirts of a residential area, and it's not very fitting of that location. So can I get a little bit more of what the plans are for the property? Because it doesn't really fit being rezoned to a commercial when it's all surrounded by, on that side of the street at least, by residential.
Well, we just like to get it zoned as commercial so we could do whatever we wanted to with it, and it'd be worth more. And it is commercial across, right in front of it. There's the Rite Aid, there's Lewis's, there's the church. I'm not too far on up the road. There is the health department.
Yes, there is, but they are across the street. And I think when zoning was put in, West Main Street was supposed to act as like the buffer between commercial and residential areas to keep them separated, kind of. I mean, it does front where you go into the downtown. And I know it looked like the church owned that corner piece of property, like on the very edge. Is that right? Is it a parking lot?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Over from the cabin.
So, I mean, with the church owning that one, it would fit there, but otherwise it's surrounded by residential. So,
well, if you come in off of 67, which you could do, that, and it'd be right in front of Lois's. And that's commercial.
Is 67 West Main Street? That's the only thing I'm seeing on my map right here.
67 goes right in front of it, between us and Lois, and the Rite Aid, and the church.
Okay. Yes. All right, I see it now. I mean, it can go either way. It's really dependent on the planning commission. Do you still want the street to act as a buffer between the two districts? If not, right across the way is commercial, but it is depending on how far you want it to extend into a residential district. Otherwise, I mean, I don't see it being developed for too much because you can only get the road access on the one side. You can't get it on 421 because I don't think TDOT's going to put a driveway there. So you'll never have to worry about a driveway on that side, but it's really depending on how far you want commercial to go into your residential district.
How far would you want it to go? The commercial. Okay. There's like, what, 4 acres?
4.43 is what tax assessor has. Sometimes that's a rough estimate, but that's about what it is.
And the church property, a church is not considered commercial, by the way.
No, it is considered residential.
Well, they are a school in that church, or they used to be.
Well, that's not a business either, but.
Schools are allowed to be in residential areas. They are one of the few that are allowed because it's not a business. It's usually government-based.
Okay, we have a request, and thank you, Ms. Malpais, for giving your input. So at this time, then, do we have a motion one way or the other on this? Do I not have a motion then on approving this? All right, we do not have a, for lack of a motion to consider this request.
Guys, it's there.
It is denied.
Well, what are we supposed to do with that place? There's not a whole lot you can do with that.
Does anybody on the commission want to respond? I'm sorry, but that's not in Ms. Dunn. That's not in our area of what we're supposed to be doing. We can't advise you on what to do with the property. It's just that, as it stands, you know, you've got three sides on that. That's not, you know, that's, you're talking about either residential or. So it's just not a good idea for the other land.
Well, but
I'm sorry, but at this time, then, that has been denied.
That's it.
And we need to move on then to the next item on the agenda, which is the discussion and approval of a rezoning request to rezone a parcel of property located.
I said, Parson, let you down.
At this time, we'll move on to the third item on the agenda, which is the discussion and approval of a rezoning request to rezone a parcel of property located at 173 Rainbow Road from R1 low-density residential to B1 local business. So at this time, do we have the landowner or representative who wants to state the request? And if you would, limit that to 5 minutes. Sheila, do we have the landowner or representative here for the request for 173 Rainbow Road? Sheila?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I thought I'd lost my audio. Okay. At this time, then, since you all have before you, those of you on the Planning Commission, you have that request and the petition for rezoning that you should have read by now. And Erica, if you will please take that up for discussion for us.
Yes, this one came before us. I think from what I understand, he wants to put additional storage units, which he owns the property that, if you're looking at the map, it's to the right of the one in question. And I think he owns the corner piece there, 243.01. And there's already storage units on the property that is adjacent to it, the 43, I think it's just 43 from what I can tell. And so from what it seemed, the conversation was more storage units on that lot. I'm a little concerned with the configuration of the lot, how it would meet setbacks and everything is one of my concerns. But because it's already been allowed on the property right next to him, that zone B1, and he's just asking for this one to be rezoned, it's kind of hard to say that there is an argument against allowing it since he was allowed it a few years ago. But I don't know the whole story behind the rezone for it. I know there was some other things, but from what I got, it was property neighbors were going to consider buying, didn't go through because of price point, everything. But I don't see a problem with it being rezoned for storage units for B1. I do want to talk to the Planning Commission. We don't have it listed in any of our districts of where storage units or self-storage facilities are allowed. I think it would really help in the future to maybe talk about drafting an ordinance to allow these in certain areas. And most areas or communities I work with do it in their B3 districts. But with it already being allowed in a B1, it's kind of, at this point, maybe we should allow it in just the business districts. So I do want to bring up that point. We have them in B1 and B3. So it's kind of, where do we say they can go, where they can't go at this point? But other than that piece of property is very oddly configured and it looks very narrow, I'm concerned about meeting setbacks or anything with it. Otherwise, with the adjoining property being B1, I can't say that it doesn't meet any criteria of not being able to be rezoned.
You're talking about property on one side of it, and what about the property on the other side?
The other side is residential, so if it is rezoned to B1, whatever he puts there, it has to abide by the zoning of, you have to put a buffer strip in between, and that's up to the discretion of the Planning Commission. It is stated in your zoning, but that's for B3, of a minimum depth whenever you do that. So they would just have to have a buffer strip that meets all their setbacks too. So a buffer strip, then whatever they put on it has to meet setbacks.
And what's that setback restriction?
For B1, it is 25 front, 10 side, and 20 rear.
All right. That's narrow anyway. It's hard to see how that can happen. Okay. Did you have anything else to say on that, Erica?
No, ma'am. Just that if it is rezoned, it'll have to have the buffer strip, because I know residential areas don't want to exactly look on to businesses and everything. So some sort of buffer will have to be put up. It's not stated what type of buffer has to be put in the zoning, but that's up to the discretion of the Planning Commission whenever a site plan comes through of what they would want there. But with it being approved that the adjacent property that he owns also had storage units, it's a little hard to say a rezone isn't approved, like being able to be approved for him.
All right, then at this time, I guess we'll have a motion, and if we have a second, then we will have the discussion before we vote, though, if any of you have any concerns. Do we have a motion then that this be approved at this time? Again, we have failure for a motion on a request, and we did. I would want to add on this too that the adjoining landowner, the R1 on the other side, has voiced objections to that, and there's a new house, a rather nice house being built on there. I don't know, Erica, if you had an opportunity to ride by and look, but they did voice an objection, and if you rode by to look, you could see how it would affect the value of their property, and I think they had a legitimate complaint.
Okay.
Personally, about that, because it is R1, and I personally do not agree and don't think I'd ever agree with going from a residential R1, especially in straight into a business. That's just not good planning, in my opinion. But
property owners are present if they want to speak for the record.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I forgot to ask you. Would the property owner, do you have anything to say? I was talking for you.
I'd just like to say that we're not in favor of it. We approached Mr. Sound about buying the land, and he
wanted... Okay, if you excuse me just a second, if you will introduce yourself.
My name is David Eastridge, and
all right,
my wife Holly. We spoke to Mr. Sound about buying the adjacent property. We offered him twice the tax appraisal on it. He's owned the land since 2014 and really hasn't planned on doing nothing with it till we started building this house. But whatever you all decide, we'll live with.
Okay. Do we have anybody else on the commission that wants to say anything?
I've got the same sentiment. I don't think it needs to go to business, especially it been sitting there idle for years and years, and you got a new home going up. I personally wouldn't want that to happen to me. So the motion didn't get an approval, so it's not going to get approved. But if we need to make a motion to deny it, I'll make it.
Okay, well, that's all right.
That might be best in this situation.
All right, thank you. We have a motion then to deny this request for rezoning. Do I have a second?
I'll second it, Karen.
All right, Jamie seconds it. And then all in favor, I'll have to do a roll call. And that's Mr. Jordan?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Ms. Cunningham? Yes. Motion denied. Is that all we need, Sheila, on that one?
Yes, I think so.
All right, thank you. The fourth item of discussion today is the discussion and approval of a site plan for Wayne Thomas to add an additional storage building to his property located on North Shady Street. And you should have a somewhat of a map for that one. Or pictures there. Is that Highway 421, Sheila? Is that the one referring to?
Yes.
Okay. Is Mr. Thomas or a representative here today?
He's not, no.
Okay, then Erica, would you please comment on this?
The only thing I have for this one, I have the same site plans as you, and I don't see an issue with it, but with looking at the drawing, it's Highway 421 at the front, and then you come in, and the new one is the back, the 100 by 25 foot building. And me and Sheila were talking, his other two have doors on either side of it, but he had mentioned on this one, it would just have the door on the one side, so it's not gonna face the back of the property either. When he got approved for the first two, it was told to him he had to have a buffer strip, which he'll still have to have when he builds this since it abuts the residential. I don't know how y'all would want to do the buffer strip. It was said the soil there wasn't exactly the best for planting. So I think he had some type of slat fencing that he put up, which he might just want to extend around. My only other issue was I had a question about the setbacks, and I asked Sheila if she thought it would intrude on setbacks, and she didn't think it would. But looking at your zoning for, this is a B3, it's located in a B3 area, and with that, your zoning states that the depth which abuts a residential district shall not be less than 50 feet. So he would have to come up 50 feet from the property line. And I don't know how close that would put him to his other buildings, if then it would be feasible for him to build it. Otherwise, I don't see an issue with him building an additional on the property. But with his drawing with the gate at the back, he's probably just meeting the 10-foot setback that's required there. But because that is abutting a residential, he has to come up 50. He can ask for a variance, but before it's approved that he can build this, he would have to apply for the variance.
Okay. So you said 50?
Yeah, in 50. Your zoning ordinance, up underneath your area, yard, and height requirement matrix, right. It has the three little asterisks, which is beside the 40, 10, and 10, and it says the depth which abuts a residential district shall not be less than 50 feet.
Okay.
So to come up.
All right, is that from the back?
Yes. From looking at, that should be the back of his property, yes.
And what is that zone, that back? B3. What is B3?
B3 is his, and then behind him, I believe, is R1.
It is R1.
R1 behind him?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And to the and to both sides of him is what?
To both sides, isn't he in the middle of like a B3?
The property, if you're facing his property, the left is R1, the back is R1, and the right is B3. Because
yeah.
I think the city rezoned those two parcels at the same time to B3.
Okay, that needs to be updated on the zoning map then, because it still shows them all as B3. I can fix that though.
I think so. I'll double check that ordinance though,
Erica. Okay.
Do anything.
But that makes sense with what me and Sheila had talked about, that with the buffer, I was trying to understand why he needed a buffer between residential on the side, because I was thinking he had B3 still on that side. If it has been, those two parcels have been rezoned to B3, and then the one on the other side is R1, that makes sense now. So he would have to have, if you're looking at his property from Highway 421, he should have had a buffer on the left side. He wouldn't have needed one on the right, and now he's going to need one along the back.
Right.
Did he have a buffer on the left?
He did.
The
Planning Commission approved. I think the Planning Commission wanted him to set trees, but there was talk about that being field, and they said that trees wouldn't grow. So the Planning Commission allowed him to do those slats, the colored slats in that fencing.
Okay.
I think this was rezoned many years ago.
It was.
When they were putting these spot zoning, making exceptions on these, and you know, so that kind of had us in a bind, I think, on for this particular lot, for the initial one. But when you're talking about adding, I've got a little problem with that. But I guess we have to have a motion first, and then we'll have discussion.
Or it could be that it's delayed to a later date till we find out how far off he's actually going to have it from his back property line. He might not be aware that there was like that little stipulation at the bottom of it.
He might not be.
And from the drawing, it doesn't look like maybe he was aware of that, because, I mean, that's just one of those random things. If there's a residential tax, all of a sudden what you have to abide by, and a lot of people aren't aware of it. So it could be like we could push it off for further discussion at the next meeting if he figures out how far off the property line he's actually going to be, and then if so, if he needs to request a variance from that.
Okay. Do I need a motion, then, Sheila, to delay this?
You can just request that it be tabled until the next meeting. And right, you don't have to have a motion.
All right. Do I have a request then that we table this particular item then to the next meeting? Till Mr. Thomas has an opportunity to determine if he wants to go forward or can go forward.
Yeah, I'll make that request.
Okay, good. We'll go ahead then and table this to the next meeting. The fifth item on our agenda today is to review and approve and the approval of a plat for VP Mountain City LLC Food Line property. And you have that plat before you to look at. And do we have a representative from VP Mountain City LLC with us today?
No.
All right, then, Erica, would you comment on this, please?
Yes, I received this survey a couple weeks ago to review, and it's for the Food Line property, the property that Food Line's located on, and it's actually three individual tracts of land, and the surveyor had thought that it was supposed to have all been combined, but when looking through records, it's never been combined into one lot. They are refinancing, and so in order to refinance, they needed to have it surveyed per the bank's orders, and that's all it was for this one. I've reviewed it. Everything should be fine, except Sheila did catch one of my little oopses. This property is actually a split zone, which
it's
is
a
split zone. So instead of all of them being the same zone, it's, if you look at track two, it's like the bottom corner of it is also B3, but then the portion that fronts Forge Creek Road and the corner there is B1. So it makes it really difficult to know what setbacks they should follow if anyone ever does build on the property. No, there's nothing there right now. So I suggested that whenever they come in to get the signatures, just make a notation on there. The secretary make a notation that it's a split zone property, and B1 and B3, but track two is not completely in one zone, which is really frustrating and complicated, kind of. It could be something that we propose for future use. If they ever decide something is going to be built, it needs to be rezoned to get rid of that split zoning. I try to recommend that for most of my communities because it makes it very difficult for property owners at that point. But it's the only little section of it that is split zone. Other than that, everything checked off. He added all of the information I needed. He corrected some of the signature boxes for me. So other than making the notation of the split zone between the properties, it's fine to go.
All right, do I have a motion to approve this plat division?
I'll make a motion, Karen.
All right. Motion made by Jamie. Do I have a second?
Second.
Is that you, Jerry?
Yes, yes.
Right, thank you. I have a motion and a second. All in favor, roll call. Mr. Jordan?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Ms. Cunningham? Yes. This one is approved.
Okay, I will email the surveyor tomorrow letting him know he can get the signatures if he hasn't already. I'm not quite sure where he was at on all the signatures, but I tell him to also either him or the secretary sign off on a note stating the split.
All right, thank you. Do we have any further business at all, Sheila, that's not on the agenda?
None that I'm aware of.
All right, since there is no further business, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
Go ahead and let Richard beat me to it.
All right. Did Richard make the motion?
I did.
All right, thank you. We have a motion. Do I have a second? All in favor, Mr. Jordan?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Ms. Cunningham, yes. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. This one was a little tough.
A lot of rezonings all at once.
Thank you all.
Thank
Have
you.
A nice day or evening.
Thank you.